if you have your Bible reading this morning, and you want to follow the reading, then please turn to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. So the last 2 weeks, just to go for a little bit of a recap, we've been looking at Isaiah, and particularly Isaiah 43, and seeing what God was doing with his people then, and also what we can take away for us today. So I'll say just a quick recap. In the first 13 verses we looked at, God was reminding his people that he is holy, that he is God, that he is the one in control. He is the God that has put everything in place. And he sets out his promises for the Israelites at the time, that if they were willing to follow him, he would look after them. And look after them, he did. Last week, we were looking at chapter 43, verses 14 to 20, and in particular, verses 18 and 19. Again, God was telling his people that what he was about to do, it was a new thing. He was about to do something different. But this morning, we're going to go back to right from the beginning. We're going to look at God's promise to Abraham. The timeline between Abraham and, as he was known then, Abraham and Isaiah is around about 1300 years. Excuse me. And there's a reason I tell you that, because I found it fascinating that what God was doing with the Israelites in Isaiah, he's also doing with Abraham in Genesis, right at the beginning. So, Genesis 12, 1 to 9. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moab at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went towards the hills on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. May God bless his word to us this morning. A boy was attending church one day, and he said to the pastor, "There's a man who says to me that he will kill me if I keep attending church." And the pastor responded by saying, "Have faith, son, you'll be alright. God will protect you." The following week, the boy came to the pastor again and said, "Pastor," this time the man said, "but if I keep attending church, he will kill the pastor." And the pastor replied, "This is not good. Why don't you go to a different church?" And the boy said, "Have faith, pastor. You'll be all right. God will protect you." How many times have you given advice or been given advice, but when the tables are turned, you start thinking in a slightly different way? Abraham was a man of faith. he was called by God to move out of his home country to an unknown land. And he obeyed that call. Just sort of reading that passage over again, God reminded me of, perhaps it wasn't quite as easy as it seemed to just pick up and go to an unknown place. It seems easy when we read those passages. God spoke to Abraham, get up and go. And Abraham got up and went. But is it really that easy? Because first of all, when we're living in our home country, we have security, don't we? We have security. If you just look at Sandy, we have security around here. We have things that, you know, our own comforts. There's things that are familiar wherever you live. It takes courage to step up and to step out of your comfort zone. But it must have been a little bit harder for Abraham to actually make that journey, because after all he was the leader and he had to make sure that all the people were going to be with him. Many people may have complained. He could have not pleased all the people all the time. He had to persuade them and to win them over to follow his command. It would have taken Abraham great confidence to actually launch out on a move like that. But God blesses those who have faith, just as he blessed Abraham. God said to Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need to have faith to know that God is actually there. And that's what we're doing here this morning. Because we all have a degree of faith, because we're all here worshipping God. And in the same way as Peter stepped out of the boat when he went to see Jesus, meet Jesus on the water, he must have had faith to be able to take that step out of the boat. It took faith for Peter to step out and to come to Jesus as he was walking on the water. Matthew 14:22. Walking on water is not a natural thing to do. Walking on water is a supernatural thing to do. There must have been a degree of fear to overcome in order to be able to step out of that boat and walk on the water. Especially taking that first step must have been a huge thing to do for Peter. So I was challenged when I accepted the call to come to Sandy. For me, it was exactly like stepping out of the boat to meet Jesus on the water, to actually make that step. But everything that was familiar to me and Ali, living down in Bournemouth, we had to leave behind because God called us here. It was time for me to step up to the plate. It was time for me to step out in faith and follow God for what God has planned for Ali and myself. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, our life has been bought at a price. We belong to him. Our life has been bought at a price and we belong to him. A friend of mine told me about a book that he was reading entitled Shutting Out the Sun, in which some of the serious social problems of Japan were listed. I mean, as a fascination for all things Japanese. I found it starting to describe what he had read, and some of the things that he mentioned were withdrawal groups. About 1 million Japanese people aged between 15 and 35 shut themselves away in their rooms, and they refused to talk or socialise with other people. They suffer from the fear of facing people. The other problems that my mate was talking about is the lifestyle change of many young women in Japan. They no longer want to get married and they no longer want to have children. Other problems that were listed were long working hours. Japanese are renowned apparently for working long hours and also have a very high suicide rate. There's also a huge spiritual need in Japan. The Christian population in Japan is about 1% of the population, which should give us a lot of hope, really, and encouragement, because we're at least 9% higher than they are. So that should really boost us this morning, to know that we're 10% in this country Christians, so that's good. Apparently in Japan, there is a saying that says, the nail that sticks out will be hammered down. And most Japanese would not want to be different. They don't want to be different. Because if they become different, if they stick out, they fear that they will be hammered down. There's a pressure from all around, within family, within extended family, and within the community itself. And things will start to become very unpleasant. Conformity is considered to be a virtue. If you conform in Japan, it is considered to be a virtue. To become a Christian means that you'll be different. You'll stand out. Even though the Japanese realise that much of the Christian teaching upholds a high moral standard, they still don't want to be different. They don't want to be stuck out like a nail. There's also Japanese traditions, traditional religions that oppose Christianity as well. So there's lots of things to consider if you're Japanese and the Lord speaks to you. Becoming a Christian is uncommon in Japan and is very difficult. It takes faith to stand up and to give your life to Jesus. Stepping out in faith requires a launch into something that is new for most people, something that appears difficult and something that appears challenging. So let's just think about that for a moment, shall we? I'm pretty sure that we can relate to some of the issues that the Japanese face. I was going to say, you know, maybe not the withdrawal, but I think in the last 12 months that we've experienced in lockdown, the state of a lot of people's mental health, a lockdown room would be, or a withdrawal room would be a comfort. But we can't relate to withdrawal rooms, but we can certainly relate to sort of stepping out and trying something new, can't we? Abraham was blessed when he moved out of his home. When he moved out in faith, Abraham was blessed, as God said he would be. As he travelled, his wealth increased. The further Abraham went with God's plan, the more blessing he received. And the more blessing he received, the more of a blessing he was to the people around him. As Peter stepped out of the boat in faith, a miracle took place. He could walk on water. He could walk on water. There's an old song that says, do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do for you. Again, if we look back at Jonah, Jonah had faith. We know Jonah had faith. He may have been disobedient, but Jonah had faith. Because Jonah knew exactly what God was going to do. Jonah knew that God was going to complete his transformation of the Ninevites. That's why he didn't want to go, because he knew that God was going to do that. And Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. Not a lot of people did. And he certainly didn't want to see him sick. So that's why he was disobedient. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Because I know what you're going to do. I don't want to do that. Why do I want to say the gospel? Give them a good word, the good news. They're horrible people. And God says, you're going anyway, Jonah. Jonah knew that was God's plan all along. And if we look at the Great Commission, it takes faith to go out and share with other people, doesn't it? It takes faith to go out and share with other people our story, where we are, how we believe in God, and what Christ has done for us. I think the problem for us in this country, and this is just my thought, for too long we have been told to be tolerant. Too long we have been told to be tolerant. You know what? That's right. That is right and proper to be. We must be tolerant of one another. We should be tolerant of one another. But that doesn't mean to say that we need to be silent. It doesn't mean to say that we need to be doormats. It means that we love our neighbour as ourselves, just as Christ commanded us to do. God bless us, people who move out of their comfort zone and dare to do something new. So here's a question. I think you knew there was going to be a question somewhere along the line. Is God calling you on an adventure? Is God calling you on an adventure? From last week, excuse me, God was saying, God saying last week, see, I am doing a new thing. From last week to this week, has God spoken to you? Is he doing a new thing in your life? Has God spoken to you and going to put you on a journey? Now for the older sense, shall we say, within the congregation this morning, just a reminder that Abraham didn't start until he was 75. So there's time for you yet. Don't think you got away with it. What is God saying to you this morning? As we exercise our faith, we please God. Because God is pleased with those who have faith. And he blesses them. If we exercise our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bless us with abundance. We need to dare to be different.
We need to
dare to be different. And please don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we should go it alone. I'm just saying that we should go with God. I'm not saying we should do something radical like we have 15 minutes of fame like we see on some of the reality shows that we have on TV these days. I mean that we need to stick out. We need to stick out like the nail stuck out. Sorry about that. It's got tickled in my throat. We need to be like the nail and stand out. As with Abraham, he was still the leader of the tribe. But the tribe moved together. And that was the important thing. Yeah. Is it bubble?
Thanks.
still the leader. He was still the leader of his tribe. But that's the thing, you see, the tribe had moved together. Yes, there may have been some people that hadn't been grown. Would be human nature if we didn't. But they still moved together as one unit. And as they moved together, Abraham was blessed. And he was a blessing. You see, it's not about Abraham moving out, it's about the promise of God. They never failed. The people never failed. They couldn't fail because God was with them. And he was true to his word. God's plan for Abraham was to move, to move him away from the people that he was with in his home country and to make him into a great nation. That's the first thing that God did. He needed to get Abraham away from his home country. Within his own country, although the people would say that they knew God, a lot of people said that they knew God, sometimes some of them would practice ancestral traditions and they would have idols in their home. They would say they know God, they would say they would follow God, they say that they would look at Abraham as being their leader, but then they would come home and praise and worship ancestral traditions that are connected to the idols that they have. The family idols that go way back. Some of the people still held on to some of their gods with a small g and held on to the idols and practiced those family traditions. God had to remove Abraham from that situation and those practices. He needed to break from the past. And when we break from the past, we have a place in the future and a purpose for God. The first part of God's promise was the land. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. By anchoring that blessing in the land, God made that promise tangible. Because there was something to go for, Abraham was willing to step out in faith. Every aspect of life was involved within the land. Because the land needed to be occupied, it needed to be fortified, it needed to be cultivation, and it needed to have conversation. If the land brought the people, it needed all those things. It didn't plan. Second part of the blessing, I will make you a great nation. This part of the blessing was a little bit more difficult for Abraham to get his head around. You see, at that time Abraham was as good as dead, as it says in Romans 4:19. And his wife was barren. Well, that means basically that they were both old. They were both really, really old, and as I said before, he was 75 when he started out on his journey. So in all intents and purposes, it looked like the family was going to die out. But then, despite all the adverse indicators, we have a God that gives life to the dead. And he calls into existence the things that do not exist. How amazing is God to get Abraham together and to move out at the age he was. You see, this taught Abraham and the people to trust God and allow God to fulfill his word. When God is allowed to be the director of Abraham's life, the evidence is plain for all to see. As Abraham spent time with God, the people will see the blessing of God manifest outwardly and visibly. So when Abraham spent time with God, he would be blessed. That should tell us something. And as Abraham was blessed, he was then a blessing to other people. God increased Abraham's prosperity and his success. Wherever he went, God just added to the people, he added to the livestock, he added to the finances. The blessing of God Almighty on Abraham's life was clear and definite. And so it is today. When we allow God to direct our path, people will start to take notice. So here's a little challenge for you. Why not ask God to give you a new task this week? But be careful what you pray for, because God just might do it. He might just give it to you. We've got a baptism coming up. And I just feel it's right to mention this. That if you feel that the Lord is calling you to be baptized, then come and have a word with me. Come and have a chat. And we can talk it through. But the thing is, God is calling us to move as a church. In a few weeks' time, Ali and I will be leaving. But you still need to move as a church. You still need to look to God to be blessed and to be a blessing. I encourage you wholeheartedly to pray to find out where your place is within that situation. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can stand on your word. That when you say that you will bless when we spend time with you, then we know that we will be a blessing to others. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your spirit on this Pentecost Sunday and revive this church again, Lord Jesus. Make this place a beacon of your light for the community here within Sandy. We praise you and thank you again, Lord, for your lovely grace and your mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next